Why are we actually calling it the Naquato?
Because when I look at it, that's what it says, yeah. Naquato.
And it reminds
Guys,
us of Naquato.
Appropriate question of the week.
Or yes. Naquato.
But don't have me like start it because I won't be able to get it out.
That's what she said.
Oh, no.
Welcome to ADNA number 74 for the website nerdappropriate.com. We are here on a lovely Sunday evening, I guess, at this point.
Yeah.
How are you guys doing?
I'm great.
Fantastic.
Awesome. I spent like 12 hours on the couch yesterday, and it was the best feeling ever. It was amazing.
Wow.
But you were back in the throes of work, right?
Yeah, I was just exhausted, and it was awesome because my wife went out for the entire day. She went out with a friend and they went shopping and stuff. And I just was like, I'm just going to sit here and be in a completely vegetative state. And it was like one of the best days I've had in a long time.
Good times.
Days like what that are saying, amazing.
Hillary? Oh, no. I was unloading a 3-car garage full of stuff in 105 degree weather. Oh, that's what I'm doing this weekend. It's fantastic.
Oh.
Awesome.
I'm trying to think about all the calories I'm burning.
There you go.
There you go. There is a positive side to it.
It is. Indeed. There is.
And Scott, you've been out of town, right? You just got back?
Yeah.
You were at the Decepticon convention?
History meeting, yeah.
Decepticon.
Yeah, I had to go to Baltimore for work, but it was not even Baltimore. I was at the airport, more or less.
Ooh, boy.
They say that the airport is the nicest part of Baltimore.
Oh, zing. I was like at this place 5 minutes from the airport where they do meetings and stuff like that. So that was great.
Did you even get to see friend of the site Bill or no?
No, not at all. I didn't get to do anything. I never left the campus for 3 days, 3.5 days.
Yikes.
But, what kind of crazy spy shit are you doing?
You make it sound better than it is, but
who
I did.
The campus? What campus?
It's like it's a facility where they have campus. They have the meeting space and the hotel room in the same place. So I call it a campus. Yeah.
When you go into doors there, do you have to scan your thumbprint?
Oh no.
Do you have to scan a badge?
It's much less glamorous. The only thing I have to show a badge for is to get into the cafeteria. So.
Oh man, it's some high tech cafeteria.
Keep the food on lockdown, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. But I did come back. I got back in town, and I went on like a Borderlands binge, and I played through the second playthrough in 2 days.
Oh, jeez. Wow. That's incredible.
I went crazy.
It's a super long game, though, right? I mean, if you just kind of...
I guess it's not. I didn't realize, and I just kind of got to the end, and I was like, oh, I beat that game.
It's over 20 hours.
Is it?
Yeah.
If you do every side quest, or if you just...
I mean, when I played it, it was well over 20 hours. I don't know if I took my time or... But
it's a little different when you're rampaging through with like really good weapons and you don't have to worry about
that's
like
true. Yeah. Probably goes a lot faster.
Let's do the rundown.
That was like our quick hits of what we're doing, and then we get into depth of what we can all tell a story about what we've been doing.
Yeah, okay. For sure.
Tales to tell.
So today on the show we are talking all things Wii U. Nintendo did a press conference here in New York and announced all of their things that they're going to be putting out, and there's price points and launch titles and other such things, and we're going to go over all of them. Along with that this week, Apple did their iPhone 5 announcement. We're going to talk about that a little bit. So we've also got some stuff from Cosby Sweater. She's got a new Indiegogo we're going to talk about for a minute. And then we've got reviews of the new Transformers War for Cybertron, the new Resident Evil 3D movie, Revolution, I think it was at NBC, right, Scott?
Yeah, that's correct.
And the episode 3 of The Walking Dead game. And then the Naquata of this week. Are you excited about the Wii U? If yes, why? If no, what does Nintendo have to do to win you back?
And our
I feel like I'm going to be a minority on that one, I think.
Which I say, I would have had to be in the Nintendo camp in the first place to be won back. So your question is invalid.
Ooh.
Ooh.
No, anyways. So now, Ash, what have you really been up to?
Well, other than spending a long day on the couch, I've been playing a little bit of Darksiders 2. I played, still trying to get through Darksiders 2. I'm like 23 hours in, and my patience is starting to wear out for that game. played through Transformers War for Cybertron. Did a little tiny bit of Mass Effect 3 multiplayer still. Other than that, just working and writing. We put out some the very last of our PAX content went up on the site this week, so that was kind of cool to finally be done with all that, and I feel like we did a pretty good job covering stuff this year, so I was happy with it. And other than that, just
for show.
Yeah.
But you liked Darksiders 1, didn't you?
I liked Darksiders 2 as well. Do you want me to get into it for 30 seconds? It gets to the point where, like, okay, so you have this ability that you can clone yourself, and, like, one of your clones has to flip a switch, and then the other clone has to go flip another switch, and then this stone statue has to be pushed on top of a button. Then you have to shoot a portal on top of the statue, dangle from the fucking wall while the other clone of you dangles from another wall while flipping a switch. Then a monster spawns, and you have to... And it's just like... It's like this Rube Goldberg, like, torture. And I'm just, like, to the point where I'm just like, I don't care anymore. I just want to see the end of the game and fight big monsters and shit.
Yeah.
The end.
So, it's a little more... It's a little more Zelda, less hack and slash this time, then, for you.
Well...
Maybe a tad of Portal, it sounds like, a bit.
There is definitely some portaling going on. I think it's... my problem with it is there really, unfortunately, isn't much of a story behind this one. And that's really what was the driving force that I really enjoyed about the first game. I feel like the story elements are... You play for way too long before you actually experience something important or special in the narrative. So you'll do, you know, 4 hours of puzzling, and then, like, one guy will pop on the screen and be like, long ago I was a man, and now I'm a ghost. And then he walks away, and you're like, that's it? That's what I waited for? Like, what the fuck was that? So yeah, a little disappointed in some elements, but I mean, it's still a great game. If you love that kind of stuff, you'll really enjoy it.
That's cool. Anyway. So Hillary, tell us about Katie Sackhoff.
Oh wow, I have such a huge crush on her. It's so sad. I love her so much. I've been watching tons and tons and tons of Battlestar Galactica on my brand new Roku.
Oh,
I love my Roku.
We've got to update ours. But yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. So, I've just been watching tons of that and really digging the whole Cylon story. I watched it when it was out, but I didn't really follow it. And now I'm just obsessed.
Awesome.
And Katie Sackhoff, amazing.
Yeah. She's a
fan. Anyways. Tear through all that so fast on Netflix.
Yeah, I mean, I'm watching it back to back. I mean, there's literally, if I have even a second, I'm watching it. And it was announced, actually, that to BioWare this week that I'm actually going to be coming on board during their events. So I've been working two jobs, which is fun, my regular job and my BioWare job. So I'm super excited about that.
Well, congratulations. That's
congratulations.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
If you ever need to hire a dude to hold the door, I'll totally do that. $3 an hour.
Will you do it for free?
$3. $3.
Oh,
I'll shine shoes. It'll be awesome.
Hey.
So, Scott, let's hear about your adventures.
Okay, yeah, so
you went to
I had to go to Baltimore. Yeah, it was just a meeting, for the project I work on, and it was what I like to call death by PowerPoint. Just, three solid days of, slideshows.
Nice.
The cafeteria, the meeting room, and the living spaces are all in the same place. So for 3 days, I stayed on campus and ate the same food 9 times. Mm-hmm. So I was happy to be home. And then, like I said, I played through Borderlands because I wanted to clean up the achievements in the game. And then I realized that I just generally enjoy playing that game, and I'm excited for Borderlands 2.
Yeah.
Super, super excited for that. So I didn't want to start playing anything else before Tuesday. So I just thought, what the hell?
Did I ever show you guys that video short? It's called "Hey Ash, What You Playing?"
I've heard of it.
Ever seen it? It's on Destructoid, or it was on Destructoid a long time ago. Mm-hmm. The guy who it's him and his sister that write mm-hmm. and do all those. He is one of the writers or head writers on Borderlands 2. They hired him on from those videos to do Borderlands 2.
That's awesome.
Good for awesome.
And he's been doing the rounds. He did like Weekend Confirmed and Totally Rad Show, and it actually made me excited about the sense of humor for the game, because I actually think those videos are really funny. But
that's great.
But yeah, I'm excited. I'm with you. I can't wait.
Cool.
It's pre-order coming
thing,
in.
The last thing I did, I reviewed a game called I think it's called Tiny Troopers, and I posted the review on the website. But I guess it was a iOS game that was ported over to Steam, and it reminds me a lot of Cannon Fodder, which is kind of awesome. So
cool. I read your review.
If you have an itch, a Cannon Fodder itch that needs to be scratched, I would recommend looking at Tiny Troopers on iOS or Steam. So
awesome.
Yeah, that's it for me.
Awesome. Well, I didn't do a ton during the week. I worked a lot. Was at work pretty late every day. But yesterday, I've been wanting to get my laptop like up to speed, because it's just been not doing well. It's like overheating very easily and just kind of running like crap, basically. And it was doing that before I put Windows 8 on it. It just was never really up to snuff. And I looked it up and I was like, oh, there's only 4 gigs of RAM in this thing, and it holds up. It can use up to 16, like with the processor and the OS and everything.
Yeah.
So I was like, let me do a little, you know, googly search to find a computer store in the area, see if I can pick up, you know, some memory at the same price I could get online. And sure enough, I found the only computer parts store in New York, from what I can understand, which is ridiculous. No one sells parts. Everybody just sells like full built machines or nothing. I guess the internet put everybody out of business, but. So I trained it up there, got my 16 gigs of RAM. It was like $80, which is awesome. Got home. I realized that I have not opened a computer up in probably, I don't know how long. It's been years since I've done I'm going to replace some pieces in my computer.
Yeah.
And it's like the laptop's actually put together really well. So things are kind of like, you know, in
laptops
places.
Are a challenge to even change RAM in a laptop. It can be really.
Yeah. And this is that HP Envy, so it's like all metal, and it's built. It is built really well. I do give them credit, but I got it off, and I started like took the battery out, and I pulled the hard drive out, and I was like trying to read what it said, and there was this like plastic tab. I thought I pulled it because I thought for some reason that was like how to pull the thing up to get to the memory, and that was actually the connector that ran from my touchpad to the motherboard, and I yanked right out of it. And I was like, oh, God.
Like, the touchpad is broken?
No.
Okay.
It just meant that like my 15-minute repair turned into like an hour and a half of me completely disassembling. I had the laptop was completely opened up. I had to gut it to get to the part that it's in.
Suck.
So I got that all put back together. I put the RAM in, and I was like, here's to hoping it still works. But anyway, it works, and the thing screams now. It is extremely fast.
That's awesome.
I played a couple on it, and it ran really well, and everything's just like much smoother. It's not running hot anymore. Like the fan rarely kicks on. So imagine that. You quadruple your RAM, and everything works better in a laptop.
Mm-hmm.
Who thought? Oh.
Shocking.
Who would have thunk? Yeah.
Who would ever that's how those things work? But that's pretty much all I really did. I didn't do too much this week, otherwise, as we can note by the reviews that I am not on whatsoever.
News.
Wii U.
News.
News.
I think by all means, we should be letting you introduce this news topic, because you are the guy who just now canceled his Nintendo Power subscription. So
oh geez, that was like a year, like 6 months ago, I think.
Yeah, 6 months ago.
And then they just announced a couple weeks ago that it is now the publication is ending. So you may have it was all your fault, Scott.
It was I was the only one subscribing.
Yeah, they only had Scott, and they were just like, "We'll just wait till this guy gives up, and then we'll cancel it."
There was a point in time where Nintendo stopped publishing that magazine, and it went over to Future US, and it just became really like tacky, you know?
Yeah,
because they publish like a lot of magazines, and it's just like, you know, just like picture porn is all it is.
Mm.
It's like, hey, here's, you know, like it's a magazine full of lists and pictures and like not a lot of writing, and you're like, oh, cool, great. Anyways. I guess the big news is that Nintendo announced sort of the date and pricing for the console. What were the prices? I think it was like $299 and then $349.
Yeah. November 18th, it's $299 and $349.
Yes.
It's totally bizarre because they're going to do like, they're doing two packages, right? And then I think the lower package has like a really small amount of like
8 gigabytes,
8 gigs.
8 gigs. And then the premium one has like 32.
Yeah.
32. As if it's like, you're like
flash memory.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. 32, thanks for that. Yeah. You know, that's great.
But
it also comes with Nintendo Land. So it's, you know, and it's black. And the basic one's white. So now if you walk into somebody's living room and they have a white Wii U, you know they like ditched out and didn't buy the nice one.
It's so bizarre because now there's this news about like, oh, well, Amazon, you can't pre-order this thing on Amazon now.
No.
It's like,
or Toys R Us, or GameStop.
Right?
Yeah, all today.
Oh, really?
Today
where can you buy this damn thing?
Nowhere right now. they are all sold out. Maybe Kmart.
Yeah, sold out.
Wow.
Yeah.
But you could pre-order it at GameStop.
Well,
but Amazon had no pre-orders, right?
Amazon didn't allow it at all.
But they're not even selling it at all. Like, is there some kind of weirdness going on there, right? Am I right, about this?
Nintendo, I think that's Nintendo trying to keep things in store.
The dirt. But
really? I mean, why?
It's 2012. You know, people buy stuff online.
Scott, they're releasing a 32 gig system. I don't think they know it's 2012. They're still like, throw a flash drive in it. No one cares about media anymore. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's confusing.
It is confusing because then they also announced that they're going to have this sort of television management like interface or whatever, I guess, that connects to Hulu and Amazon and all that stuff and give you, I guess, some kind of easier access to your TV shows. So, like, that's kind of cool, you know, but then...
Because you don't have a Roku or anything else.
Well, I mean Roku, Xbox, PS, PlayStation.
Yeah.
Your TV, your Blu-ray player,
yeah.
Like fucking anything.
Your computer.
In the living room eventually will play that stuff.
It's weird. It's almost like a prerequisite now, just to have something. It's like, I just bought a blender, but I can get Netflix on it, so that's cool, right?
It's true.
At least they branded it well.
Yeah.
TV.
I mean, we could just go through all the naming tropes of all the companies, you know, like if it were Microsoft, it would be called like system television programming interface. And then like on the, you know, if it were an Apple product, it would be called like Portal View or something.
Or just an animal name. Like an ostrich.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I'm with you on
Panda.
This release that they're doing is baffling, that they're immediately putting out two systems that are not super distinguishable. Other than color and kind of hard drive, but it's not even a hard. It's literally a flash stick that's inside of the Wii U.
Yeah.
I didn't expect, you know, like a PS3 level like multimedia machine. I did not expect that at all. I did expect somewhat of a hard drive and maybe a Blu-ray player. Like, I didn't think that would be the craziest thing in the world. Instead, they're releasing it with their own. A new format of disc that's Nintendo.
It's like 25 gigs, though, right, on that disc?
It's essentially Blu-ray, though, right? I mean, essentially all they did was not lease the Blu-ray name, so they didn't put the little Blu-ray reader and software inside of it because they didn't want to pay for it.
Yeah.
And then they put out a thing that reads a disc that's essentially the same size.
Size as a Blu-ray, or is it a little bit smaller?
It's really close.
Yeah, I just heard they did it to prevent piracy, so it's like a little bit different. It's like their own size, but I could be wrong on that because I read a bunch of different stuff today.
Because Wikipedia says Blu-ray discs are 25 gigabytes per layer with dual layer discs of 50 gigabytes, and then apparently there are triple and quadruple layer discs. But I remember on the the GameCube. This might be true for the Wii too, but the content on the disc was written backwards from the way a traditional disc was burned.
Interesting.
And I think that was also meant to do something with piracy, but obviously on the Wii that didn't pan out because eventually that, you know, you could like homebrew that thing.
Yeah.
It's frustrating to me because it's like, it's not like Blu-ray is the new hot shit. Like, Blu-rays are getting cheap now. Like, I can go to Target and get a Blu-ray player for $60. Like, it's not... Mm-hmm. This is no longer the technology of, like, you know, rich only. It's, like, it's a pretty normal standard now. So to avoid that in your machine, you're basically saying, like, we don't want to be the multimedia thing in your living room. But then they're like, oh, but by the way, here's a TV system, and you can watch Amazon through us. And it's like... It's just so confusing.
Yeah.
I just didn't get what they were doing with the system. It made no sense to me, but... Anyway.
But don't you think, I mean, the next step will be to not have a tangible something to insert into your computer or a player? You know what I mean? Like, yeah, we're moving away from all of that.
I feel like this is,
so, I mean, it's, yeah.
This is the discussion that we get.
To me, it's not that big a deal.
This is the discussion that we get into every 3 weeks, though, I feel like, as to whether we're ready to go all digital or not yet. And, you know, 25 gigs is a hell of a thing to go all digital. So.
Yeah.
Well, here's a question. Do you think, what do you think Nintendo thinks about how this is going to fit into your living room? Do they assume that this is going to be your only system, or that this is going to, they kind of assume that this will sit alongside of something else, whether it be a Roku or an Xbox or a PlayStation?
I don't know. At $350, I think they've left that we're not the only system in your living realm.
Yeah, that's true.
At $150, you can buy that thing and not really concern yourself with it. At $350, you know, it's not a major purchase necessarily on the lines of, you know, a refrigerator, but it's getting there. It's half of an appliance. I can get a dishwasher for $350.
Yeah, and that's like, one of the things, you know, when we asked the community, are you excited? This, a lot of people had a problem with the price. For what you were getting, because, you know, and we'll get into the details in a little bit, but it doesn't really come with a whole lot. And it is backwards compatible with a lot of the Wii peripherals. But, you know, someone like myself who I never bought a Wii, I am not going to go out and buy like nunchucks and stuff and wheels and like whatever to play on this thing. I'm just not going to do it. I refuse. So, like, then the price point jumps from $300 to, you know, $500 once you have extra
bundle
stuff.
Time.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
And that should be noted that there are no traditional controllers included with this. It is only the new gamepad that comes with either one of these systems.
Yes.
And
there's no Wiimote or anything like that?
No.
Nothing.
No.
There's no peripherals. It's just the gamepad. And they're not going to sell the gamepad separately. In America. They are in Japan, but not America.
How do you get that one then for when those games come out? I mean, they're going to make games that require two.
So that's the second confusing announcement, is they said, well, in America, we're not going to sell the second gamepad. And everybody was like, whoa, wait a minute. I thought that was like half the point to, you know, have like two pads. And then Nintendo said, well, no one's actually going to be able to use that technology right now anyways, so there's no point in having it.
I mean, traditionally what Nintendo has done has, they've just sold, they've sold the game with like whatever controller you need for it. So, you know, when like the Motion Plus came out, they just sold, you know, Wii Sports Resort, and then you got the Motion Plus with that. So it seems like they would do that if it was like, oh, you need a second gamepad. But I really doubt, like, I know for our demographic, like, we'll probably never require that second gamepad anyways, just because of the way that we play.
So here's the next bit of news on that gamepad, is that they are releasing it separately in Japan. You can buy a gamepad in Japan without the system.
Okay.
The pricing equivalents from yen to US, the Wii, the basic Wii, I think it is, equates to about $340, somewhere in there, for the like $300 Wii here.
Okay.
And the gamepad comes out to $170.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's like you're pretty much buying a handheld and a Wii together.
Yes.
Do you think, does anybody think that's why it's not out in America? Because that price tag would sticker shock everyone out of existence into wanting.
People would flip out. Yeah, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Probably.
I don't know. I feel like they're rushing it out just to be like, look, we're on the forefront of next gen.
I feel like they have to rush it out, though, because I think the machines that PS3 and Xbox are going to put out, we know are going to be beastly computer, you know, multimedia. Like, they're going to be what they do, which is these ridiculous boxes that just have insane power in them. And this is not that. This is a Nintendo machine, and it's very
Their cycle has been like a year ahead, though, for a while, hasn't it, in terms of like console releases?
I think since the GameCube, right? I think they jumped the GameCube release, and then everything else has been like a year ahead. I don't think, to be honest with you, I don't remember when the 64 came out. I wasn't tracking things that closely back then.
I got it for Christmas. That's all I remember. And I was quite excited.
Exactly. I think they did probably want to get to Christmas before the next machines come out and get to Christmas, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's going to be this year, and then next year, the other two machines will come out.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's the way it goes.
So, I mean, before we get to the game news about it, what were your guys' just general feelings on this announcement of the $300 to $350? The only
should we wait until our Nequato to talk about this, about our feelings?
Why are we actually calling it the Nequato?
Because when I look at it, that's what it says, Nequato,
and it reminds us of
the nerd appropriate question of the week.
Or yes. An Aquato.
But don't have me like start it because I won't be able to get it out.
That's what she said.
Oh, hey, no.
So, Ash, do you want to tell us about the exclusive then?
Okay. So, Platinum Games just announced that they are going to finally be making Bayonetta 2, which a lot of us are excited about. But it's also going to be a Wii U exclusive. So, not going to be coming out for 360, not going to be coming out for PS3, not going to be coming out for next-gen Xbox or next-gen PlayStation. It is exclusive.
Steambox.
Yes, for the Steambox. But it's going to be exclusively for the Wii U. And a lot of people were very, very upset, not only with that, because, I mean, that, you know, since no one on Earth has that console yet, people are like, oh, man, now I have to, if I want to play Bayonetta 2, I have to get a Wii U. Because that's typically not the type of game that Nintendo isn't exclusive to Nintendo. When we think of Nintendo exclusives, we think of Mario and Smash Brothers and, you know, Metroid, things like that. We don't think of, you know, really action-y Japanese titles too much. Or at least I don't, you know. I think of, you know, the old school Nintendo games. So a lot of people were very upset that Bayonetta 2 was going to be a Nintendo exclusive, and I was kind of curious what you guys thought.
Well, this kind of... You say that, I think that's the way Nintendo is now. I don't think anybody has had the confidence in the past two Nintendo machines to make big exclusives for them with the powerhouses that were the PlayStation and the Xbox being out. Mm-hmm. I think two things. One, it says something about the Wii U. I feel like it does. I feel like it's a big name game saying, hey, we're only going to put out on this system. It's not even out yet. Says some kind of confidence level for the system from that producer. And then the other thing is it reminds me back of like the Sega Nintendo days where they did get exclusives like this shit all the time. And I never got to play any of the games because I had a Sega.
Should be worth mentioning that Bayonetta is published by Sega. So I think on that merit alone, it's not entirely surprising that it's going to be a Nintendo exclusive.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. I feel like it does. To me, I think the biggest thing it says is there's at least some form of confidence that the publishers are having in this system to put out exclusive titles for it. So ones that are big name titles, not just like.
Well, it's also, I think, one reason why people were surprised is Bayonetta is a very sexualized character. And I don't think she's like raunchy by any means. But I mean, if you've ever played a Bayonetta game, like, you know, it is a comically sexualized game to the point where, you know, she's doing like pelvic thrusts and like her, you know, her hair is actually her costume. And it's like it's totally ridiculous. You can never be like, oh, this game's dirty. But at the same time, it's like, you know, it is there's a lot of innuendo in Bayonetta games. And I don't think that's
innuendo.
But I don't think people really think of that when they think of Nintendo. They think of, like, you know, getting the mushroom and making yourself bigger and running into each other with a cart.
Maybe that's what you think of.
Yeah, I mean...
I think of, like, bowling.
Yeah.
Because I played... what the hell was that black and white game that was published by Sega? Mad World, I think.
Mad World was
Platinum as well.
And I played No More Heroes on the Wii, which was awesome.
Yeah.
And to charge up your beam sword, you had to do this with the Wii remote.
So, I mean, I think
they started
stand up and down.
Yes.
They started
it's
this.
It's like the shake weight. Like the
info. Yeah, it's like the shake weight. So I think some of this started with this kind of like the back half of the Wii U cycle where they started to try to get more quote unquote hardcore games on the system.
Yeah,
which I still don't know what that word means, but I'm going to use it anyways.
Hardcore.
Well, I mean, they were pretty successful. They've got Call of Duty, Bayonetta. I mean, it's not like they aren't putting actual games out on this thing. It's just, you know, I think it's an uphill battle for them because they lost so much of that hardcore aesthetic during the Wii.
Yeah, that's true.
I agree. Well, I, for one,
it's a different world, you guys.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of on the fence, and not to spoil the Naquato, but I don't know.
The thing that's
on. I don't know.
It's not Naquato.
But I don't know if I'm going to pick the system up or not. It depends on the other exclusives. Like I don't know. So I don't think Bayonetta is enough to bring me in. But if there's some other titles that really are incredible, then I might end up picking one up.
that's what's so weird about this machine to me. And I want to know what you guys think, but like, I listened to all this and you heard me just say all the things that sound negative coming out of my mouth, yet I'm still kind of interested in this machine. I like what they're doing. And just because, you know, the games aren't necessarily super next gen graphics, or that the doesn't have a Blu-ray player, that it's got some comically small hard drive in it, I'm still like, you know, that's kind of awesome that they're doing something different that seems pretty interesting, that I feel like could be pretty cool depending what producers do with it, you know.
No, I agree with you on that. It's one, man. I really do. I think it, you know, if it's done well, it could be awesome.
The launch list is always difficult, because we know that like anytime a new system comes out, the launch titles are going to be extremely like dated feeling within 6 months of the console coming out, you know. Right. So it's so difficult to tell like what is going to happen with this system in terms of like, you know, when the console matures, and you know, when the awesome games come out, the ones that you've actually been waiting for, you know.
Yeah.
Are you day one, or are you thinking that you're going to wait to see if they pull the 3DS 6 month drop price drop?
You're going to have to wait until the end of the show to find out.
Oh man. All right.
Well, speaking of launch day titles, there is a nice long list of 20 plus titles that are dated for launch day, and I figured I would just quickly run through these, and then maybe we can give our thoughts on why some of these are good and why some of these are bad for Wii U launch titles. But it starts off with Rayman Legends, and then Black Ops 2, Assassin's Creed 3, Zombie U, Mass Effect 3 Special Edition, which I'm assuming is going to have the DLC on it, Batman Arkham City, the Armored Edition, Tekken Tag, Scribblenauts, Just Dance, Marvel's Avengers, Battle for Earth, Transformers Prime, Darksiders 2, New Super Mario Bros. U, and Nintendo Land. And then there's a handful more as well. How do you guys feel about these launch titles?
These aren't quote-unquote launch titles, though, all of them. They're like within 2 to 3 weeks
the launch
of
window.
This machine coming out.
I guess we should just say launch
window
titles.
I think it's like launch
window
titles, yeah. Because that would actually be one hell of a release if they had all 20 of those games coming out on the same day.
It would be.
Yeah.
Like,
here is everything, everyone. Just like drop them all.
GameStop managers everywhere would freak out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, are you excited about any of these? I mean, I think my problem, just to play devil's advocate here, is, you know, most of these that I would play, I've already played. And I've played a lot.
Yeah.
Not Assassin's Creed 3.
That's true. So not Assassin's Creed 3. I don't know what they're going to be doing that's special using the controller. So I'm assuming they have some sort of special interface using the Wii U controller. But at the same time, it's like the only thing that really I'm excited to check out here is Zombie U, because Scott said it was good.
And it's fun.
I'm interested to see how they play differently, but I don't know if that's a big enough justification to make a purchase decision. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to fork over the cash. I'm definitely waiting for the next gen Sony and Microsoft.
Well,
for sure.
See, that's kind of like that. That was my whole problem with this, is some sites are sort of saying that the Wii U is a next gen system and we just haven't seen what its potential is, and then other sites are saying there's no way the hardware in it, you know, I'm not going to sit there and dish out the hardware specs, but the hardware in it is nowhere close to what the next gen hardware is going to be like.
Is that a scientifically definable term?
Exactly.
What is next gen? Like, what does that even?
It's absolutely
mean?
Not. You're totally right. I think the generations are defined by the software. I mean, in all honesty. So, you know, can the Wii U run some of the software that's going to be run on the next generation Xbox? Probably. Or else they're going to have a real hard time, because the developers are going to start developing for those new systems. And they're not going to, you know, go and do a lesser version like they used to in the old days. You guys remember when they used to come out with like an Xbox version and a PS2 version and an Xbox 360 version, all the same game? They're all slightly different.
No, you're right.
That must have been horrible for those guys.
I mean, I feel like there's two points to that. One is that there's no way it's going to be the same specs as what comes out in a year, because that's just how computers work. Like, you can't. Even a computer that you buy right now is going to be exponentially faster a year from now. That's just kind of how hardware, you know, evolves over time. But I also think that Scott had a point where the games that come out in the first even year of a machine being out generally don't look anything like the games. I mean, the Xbox has been out for how long now? And if you go back and put in one of those first release titles and compare it to something that comes out now, it's like night and day. The games look a billion times better now.
That's true.
Than they did on the same exact machine when they released.
Let's get back in our time machine real quick. There were 18 launch titles that were available on the day of the Xbox 360 console launch. Mm-hmm. And let me read to you the ones that weren't sequels to existing games. Shit. So that's Condemned Criminal Origins, Gun, Cameo Elements of Power.
Cameo.
Perfect Dark Zero, Peter Jackson's King Kong, the official game of the movie, and Tony Hawk's American Wasteland, which is probably technically a sequel.
Yeah, yeah.
And then everything else was like a sports sequel or Call of Duty or whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
Wow. Yeah.
Wait, was Need for Speed, was that new or is that something that came over? That was like my favorite thing.
It was, yeah, Most Wanted was a launch title, according to Wikipedia, but I mean...
Yeah.
Apparently it was released on GameCube, PS2, Xbox, Game Boy Advance. Yeah.
Mm. Well, I mean,
it's hard to say.
That proves the point is that as a system evolves, the people who made the system can put out better, you know, ways to work within the system, and the programmers who have it have more time to figure out the nooks and crannies and make games look better. I don't think it's going to match up with the Xbox 720 and the PS4 or whatever, but it's definitely not. I think it's got to be better than the Xbox 360. There's no way it's the same as quote unquote current gen because that is 5 year old technology at this point.
True.
There's just zero way it's that level of technology. So.
So we shall see.
We shall see.
We shall see.
So speaking of incremental upgrades.
Zing.
Apple released the iPhone 5 this week. Well, not released. I guess it comes out next week, right? Goes on sale this coming week, I believe.
Yes. Yeah, I think so.
It is taller.
It is.
It's not wider, but it is a little bit taller.
Got an extra row of icons, Matt.
Fits an extra row of icons on your screen. Mm-hmm. It's got a lot of upgrades, honestly. They are incremental, but... every phone upgrade is incremental. That's just kind of how it works. But faster processor, more mics for noise cancellation and better calls, better cameras on either side of it. It's got like a full-fledged camera on the front now, and I think 8.6 megapixel camera on the back. Crazy. With a bunch of fancy lens technology that they put into it, which, by the way, 8.6 megapixel was like the second generation of DSLRs that came out. We're about 8 to 9 megapixel cameras.
And now it's on your phone, which is absurd.
Now it's on your phone. It's got, you know, the storage hasn't changed. Still 32 and 64 gigs. I don't think there's a 16 anymore. I think they iced that level. I think it's 32 and 64. The resolution's a little bit higher to maintain that Retina display that they coined, speaking of branding. And then they put out new EarPods.
What?
Everybody's going to call them that, right?
EarPods.
EarPods.
I refuse.
EarPods. Stupidest things.
EarPods.
But,
they put out new earbuds called EarPods. And then they also refreshed the entire iPod run. I'm not going to get into the software stuff too much because that was all iOS 6, and we actually already talked about that when they did the last developers conference.
And you can download that on Tuesday anyways if you have it.
Yeah, any phone, I think 3G and up gets iOS 6.
I believe. And there is a 16-gigabyte model, 16, 32, 64. Yep.
Okay. And then all of the phones, I think they're going to keep selling from the 4 up. And all of those get price cuts. So you can get a 4 for free now on contract. You get a 4S for, I think, $100. And then it's the $200, $300, and $400 phones for the iPhone 5.
With contract.
There's no S.
Without contract, you have to like sell your firstborn and like cut off a pinky finger and give it to the demons.
Oh, yeah. I think the 16 gig 5 is $650, not on a contract, or $550, somewhere up there.
Yeah.
They're pretty expensive. People don't really realize that that's how heavily your phone company is paying to keep you in their service for 2 years.
It's crazy.
It is going to be LTE on Verizon and on AT&T, so you will get that fancy 4G speed from everything. And
I have yet to experience that, so I don't really know the difference. I'm pretty happy with 3G. Like, I don't have a... It runs better.
It's pretty
than the
fast.
Internet.
it's kind of amazing. Actually.
Yeah, you're gonna get kind of blown away if you upgrade to 4G, and you're gonna be like, "Wow, this is insanely fast." It's
I'll get
really
blown away
fast.
Up to 2 gigabytes, and then I'll start paying for the rest of it.
Well, that's a whole other talk.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, it was a pretty standard Apple fare. They hyped everything up. They talked about how they redesigned all their software for that extra row that they've got. You know, iTunes still looks like shit to me, but that's me. So I don't know if anybody else is really in love with that program.
It's clunk.
I don't love it.
Yeah, so I don't know where everybody here is in their contracts. I know you guys all have iPhones, right? So
yeah.
Where are you feeling the upgrade bug, or are you sticking with the 4 or the 4S?
I'm sticking with the 4 until April, and then when my contract is done, I will upgrade, which is what I've been always doing since I had the original 3. I just waited. Mm-hmm. So I definitely can wait. You know, if something catastrophic happens and I drop it in a toilet or something, I'll upgrade. But otherwise, I'll just hang in there and wait for the, you know, by April, there'll be another version already. Guaranteed. So
no.
So you're not gonna orchestrate.
There's not gonna be an
accident?
S. You don't think?
Next year.
No, they release
there will be an S.
The phones come out early.
Oh, really?
So by April they'll announce iOS 7.
Oh, okay.
And then by October they'll put out a new iPhone.
Oh, okay. I won't wait till October.
iPhone 5S.
Probably April or May. I'll get the new one, and then I can have a taller phone.
There you go.
What about you, Scott?
Well, I mean, since we were just talking about Nintendo, and like this whole notion of like buying additional accessories, you know, so it's like you buy the new phone, you obviously have to get a new case. How do you feel about?
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. So, brand new connector too, called Lightning.
That's what I was going to talk about.
Oh,
speaking of buying extra shit, is how do you feel about buying a Lightning to 30-pin adapter for $30?
What?
So that you can use your old stuff with your new stuff. So you can either carry like two cables with you, or you can carry the dongle, this little like connector. But the Lightning to USB cable is also $20 by itself. So
you should ask Hillary.
The adapter is more than the cable.
Hillary, will you carry a dongle?
will you
carry a dongle with you, or?
Oh God!
I love that. Just like she didn't even respond. It was just like this.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
No, I don't know. The best part, I wasn't watching.
Question, guys. Jeez.
Oh, whatever. I just love that it's called like Thunderbolt and Lightning, because literally as soon as I saw that on Twitter and it became like a trending topic, all I could think was Bohemian Rhapsody. And so all day long, I was like, Thunderbolt and Lightning, very, very frightening. You know what I mean?
So this is why everybody here should hate Apple. And I actually, this is why you should hate Apple. Because when they put the iPhone out originally, USB kind of sucked. It wasn't fast by any means. It was relatively slow, and it didn't do a lot for you. It was hard to do like charging and, you know, syncing and all that kind of stuff that the iPhone needed. So they created a 30-pin connector. That's why it exists, because they needed to have a way to do all the stuff that the iPhone needed to do, you know, without existing technology. It exists now. USB is a totally standard, great format. Every other phone in the fucking world works on USB. I'm cussing a lot this episode. I apologize to all the children out there. Every other
just say fracking.
We do have an orphanage, an orphanage in Kansas that listens to us. The whole orphanage sits around a fire, and
I'm teaching them.
Frack that.
So. And yet here they come. They said ahead of time, we're going to update the 30-pin connector. It's not going to be a 30-pin connector anymore. We're changing it. And then they put out another proprietary thing.
I mean,
all of your connections at the same exact time.
Again, like, it's the same as Nintendo. Like, why can't the 3DS just have like a micro USB port on the bottom? Why can't the iPhone be micro USB or whatever, you know?
I don't know, man. It annoys me.
I for one really like carrying dongles. So I'm all for it, man.
Or CDs.
Okay with it.
You like multiple dongles.
So where are you guys in the contract, Scott and Hillary? Like, are you guys in your upgrade phase, or are you holding out anyways because it would cost you an arm?
iPhone number one, my Verizon. I have no idea when my contract expires. That's the one I pay for, so it's like super cheap. My work iPhone, which is AT&T, I will ask to get the upgrade. I need it for work purposes.
Man,
I need an extra row of icons for work purposes, guys.
I need that extra research tool or my forecasting thing.
Oh my God.
You need more dongles, is what you're saying.
More dongles.
Only you need more dongles.
I'll take all the dongles, please.
All the dongles.
Oh my God.
So Scott, you're only about halfway through. You don't think you're
I think I'm somewhere in September of next year, which makes me eligible somewhere around June or July. So, I mean, this doesn't really impact me at all because I'll be like, for me, it's like I can still get the software update, which is fine. Yeah. I'm happy with that.
Well, I think the kicker though, the kicker about this phone above all else is the LTE, to be honest. I think that 4G is the key component to that iPhone 5.
Ah, I see.
But, you know, because it was available when they put the 4S out. They just didn't do it because of battery life, which is understandable because 4G like absolutely destroys batteries, and Apple likes to brag about how long their stuff lasts. So, but yeah, you know, I'm up for a change is what I was tweeting at the time when I was tweeting about the phone stuff, is like not a change necessarily to Apple, but I think I'm ready to try something other than Google. So we will see what happens, but I have a feeling it's probably not going to be the iPhone. Although I think my wife is going to go iPhone. You want to know why? This is the best reason why I ever created.
Why is that?
Does it have to do with Teen Wolf?
Because
what?
Cases. She can get a fancy case for it that has a design on it of some sort.
Hey, man. Whatever works.
Whoa.
Yep, there you go.
Ayo. Wow.
I have a Game Boy one. I love
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. She gets
totally jelly.
Frustrated that they don't make them for like the Galaxy phones and stuff.
Well, you know.
Can you play a game on your case? Does it actually turn on the back?
That would be amazing.
No, but the buttons are, they're I don't even know what to call them.
They work.
They are up. I don't know. Yeah, I've been in a hot garage all day. I don't know. They have their right. They're
wow. Yes.
They're above the flat.
we'll wait.
Yeah.
Until you get this.
So what are the buttons? Let's talk about the buttons, Hillary.
Let's not. Okay, so they are located above the flat part.
are they like elevated or
are they raised?
Are they
yes?
Are they protruding?
Are the buttons going to get in the way of the dongle when you go to touch that? Or
yeah,
how big would you say it's protruding for your phone? Is it a large dongle or is it an average size dongle for your phone?
It's a pretty big dongle, yeah.
I seriously love that I look like a stupid idiot on this podcast.
No, not at all.
No. At least yeah. You're intelligent and articulate. I am a stupid idiot, so.
I don't know about the very nice compliments, but yeah, the buttons, you can push them. There you go.
Sounds good.
Fantastic.
And
so,
but there's no functionality behind. It's just pushing buttons. Yay.
All right.
Our
next.
So last but not least, one of our friends who we've been, I guess, supporting since the early days, Cosby Sweater. She's actually finally going to go into the studio, and she started an Indiegogo, which is at indiegogo.com/Cosby Sweater. That's CossbySweater. And she is actually trying to get into the studio to record her first album. And if you haven't heard Cosby Sweater, we've actually featured her music many, many times as bumper music here on Rated NA Podcast. And she's always been super supportive of us. And we like her stuff. Really folky, cool. She sings about like D&D and monsters and cool stuff. And we really dig her stuff. So definitely check out her Indiegogo. And we're actually going to be playing a track as bumper music today. And the track is called Give Us Your Money. It's their song specifically written for their Indiegogo campaign. And the cool thing about their...
Solid.
Yeah, it's a great song. You should check it out. But the funny thing is their Indiegogo went up just a couple hours ago. And their goal is only 10 grand. And they're already, at this point, $1,500 into it after just a couple hours. So something tells me they're going to make their $10,000 goal. And they are going to be able to get into the studio and record some stuff. So that's pretty awesome. So check out Give Us Your Money by Cosby Sweater.
So let us humbly ask you for money. Give us your spare change and hear the songs that we arranged. It's the thought that counts, so think real hard about the amount. Cause there are lots of prizes, t-shirts, posters, and surprises. Sounding lights and a room to record in that won't miss a breath. Sigh, recording. Come on, won't you help us out? Look deep inside your bank account. Won't you share? Show us that you care. hope you sense our affection in the songs we create. Help us capture imperfection, an honest record with mistakes. We want you to have our album that we'll make just for you. Sad album made of songs we hold dear. So find us here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I just got finished actually last night playing through Transformers Fall of Cybertron. And, you know, I'm absolutely in love with this title. If you ever played War for Cybertron last year, you know, it's a third person shooter where you have a transformation mechanic. And the first title was a three player co-op all the way through the campaign. This is only single player throughout the entire campaign. So they actually took out the co-op from the sequel, which seems a little bit weird and ticked a lot of people off. But the reason why they did that is they wanted to make a really, really, defined and sort of a bold narrative. So the narrative of this story is incredible. It takes like all of the characters that you'd ever want to play as when you were a kid, throws them all in one giant Transformers war, and then you play from they kind of like pull a Tarantino. They show you like the end of the game in the first 5 minutes, and then it cuts and it's like 8 hours earlier, and then it jumps around from different perspectives. So you get to play as like Grimlock and then Bumblebee and then Optimus and then Megatron and then Starscream, you know, Cliffjumper.
So there's not, are there not two separate campaigns like there were in the first one?
No, that's a great question. What they do is you'll actually play for, let's say, an hour as an Autobot. And then the perspective will shift, and you'll play for like another half an hour as a Decepticon, and then the perspective will shift
again. That kind of sounds cool.
It is really cool. The last level, you change sides, I think, 5 or 6 times mid-battle. So like someone will be like throwing a punch, and then they'll be like, click B, and now you're the Decepticons and from the other perspective.
That's
if you were a Transformers fan as a kid, this will just make you insane. Like a lot of the same voice cast, just a really, really adult story that uses some bells and whistles I actually haven't seen in a third-person shooter before. There's a lot of insane environments. Like you've probably seen the video such of Optimus Prime controlling Metroplex. Does anyone remember Metroplex from when we were kids?
Yeah,
Metroplex was like the giant city that turned into a robot, and it's like the toy that only the rich kids had. Like only the really had Metroplex, because it was like 3 feet tall, and it was probably like, you know, even back then in the '80s, it was probably like $100, you know, for Metroplex. So Metroplex is in the game. You actually control him as Optimus Prime, so you get to run around with this giant robot on your side. You guys remember Soundwave, the guy with all the cassettes in his chest?
Yeah.
So that was, as a kid, that was my absolute favorite Transformer. And for those that don't remember Transformers, Soundwave was he could transform into a cassette player that didn't actually play anything. So he just transformed into like a rectangle. But all of his cassettes were actually different creatures. So he had like a dog and a laser beak, which was like a vulture. And he had two little guys, like Frenzy and somebody else. You actually get to play as Soundwave, and the cassettes actually shoot out of your chest and run around and destroy stuff. It is the coolest thing ever.
That's
yeah,
cool.
And it's so...
It sounds like they did more with the Transformers in this particular game, because in the last one, it was all just kind of like,
last one was
about the same.
This one, I mean, Grimlock is insane. Like, when you finally get to play as Grimlock, who has the coolest, like, they actually finally explain why he is the way he is, why he transforms into a dinosaur and everyone else is a car, why he has, like, you know, he's not the most intelligent of Transformers. They explain all that in a real, like, a real kind of scientific way, which doesn't, you know, it sounds ridiculous, but it's true. But each character you play as throughout the entire, I don't know, maybe 10, 12-hour narrative has a very unique play style. So Jazz is very acrobatic and has a great look and can move around on upper levels. You know, Bumblebee is obviously very, very fast and Optimus is sort of like a walking tank who can like pry open doors with his bare hands, and Grimlock can literally bite. When he turns into a dinosaur, he can like bite and tear and shred robots into pieces. So really, really cool. But there are multiplayer modes. There's a cooperative multiplayer where you play as Autobots versus Decepticons, and you can completely customize your own robot with the, you know, different classes. There's like a scout class, a tank class, et cetera, et cetera. So you can play that. And then there is a mode called Escalation, which is similar to a Horde mode, where you play as four.
That was in the last game,
right? Yeah, you play as four predefined robots against waves and waves of enemies with increasing difficulty. And that's really fun because you play as the actual character. So it'll be like Soundwave.
Let me ask you.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. In the demo, I played the demo for this game of the single player campaign, and it seemed like the game had you collecting some kind of currency, and it had like a sort of in level upgrade system. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So there are these stations that you come across called Teletran stations, and the Teletran stations are your upgrade system. So there's persistent upgrades that last throughout the entire game. So like health, armor, speed, all that. If you save up enough coins or points, you can buy those, and then your character will have a permanent health boost. And there's also a series, like each weapon that you discover, you can discover blueprints for different guns. Whatever weapons you find blueprints for, you can gain access to in those Teletran systems, and you can just like call them out, basically like a treasure chest. And then each gun also has between two and four different upgrades, with the fourth upgrade being like the gun's super. So for instance, like the gun that I ended up using was Megatron's arm, called the Riot Cannon. And the Riot Cannon has a bunch of different upgrades, but the final upgrade is like the last round in the chamber is like a super nuke that just blows away everything. So you have a regular.
How does that work?
Say again?
Like, does it go like, do you, is this like between through your whole campaign? So like if you upgrade your health, then your health for all of the Transformers that you use throughout the game will be a certain level, and you can like same with the weapons too.
Absolutely. So let's say you unlock something with Bumblebee.
Interesting.
You can go to the Teletran system and pull it up with Megatron and still have access to it. So, and also it carries over. There's like
weird
plus. So anything that you like, if you play through the game a second time, all the stuff you unlock the first time will be unlocked. So you can, you know, keep building your arsenal, improving your weapons and.
Well, that sounds crazy.
So it's a lot of fun. And like they did a really great job with the guns this time as well. You know, there's a huge variety, both light weapons and heavy weapons. The heavy weapons are, you know, range from guns that do mind control, like rewire people's circuits, to just giant howitzers and things like that. So the game does an amazing job of making you feel this time like you are in the middle of a war. The scale of some of the battles is absolutely incredible. So High Moon knocked it out of the park with this, so it's great. If you're a Transformers fan, you owe it to yourself to play this game.
Awesome.
All right.
Nice.
That was long-winded. Sorry. I got excited.
That's awesome.
Okay, so for those of you out there who are listening that want to hear a more feminine side of 80s toys, remember Gem?
Yeah.
There were cassette tapes that came with the dolls. They were fantastic.
I would have a tape of the Misfits because... The Misfits are great.
And we're the Misfits. Our songs are better.
They're great. I love them. What were their names? It was like Roxy. And no, that was...
Pizzazz.
Pizzazz, yeah. Pizzazz. Shit. See, wow. Gem used to be on after Thundercats, so I would like, I'd be eating like my...
Thundercats were awesome.
Yeah, my entire box of Fruity Pebbles, and then I would just be too lazy to change the channel. So I actually watched quite a bit of Gem as a young man.
All right.
I may have actually touched myself while watching Gem once.
Oh, man.
Oh, so,
Scott, you watched Revolution this week.
I sure did. Did you guys get a chance to watch this?
I did not.
This Revolution? No?
I was too busy watching Katie Sackhoff.
This is the new J.J. Abrams joint, right?
Yeah, the new vehicle, if you will.
He was on Fallon talking about this.
Yeah.
That so was the
basic premise of the show is that all the power in the world like goes out, so that's like cars and planes and everything, electricity, all that stuff is gone. And then the show takes place 15 years in the future, and I guess it's interesting because on Fallon he was very quick to point out that it's not post-apocalyptic, it's post-power, which I think is kind of interesting. So so anyways, the main story follows the character, it's like the daughter of the family that you see in the beginning of the show before the power goes out. So, and then this is 15 years after the power goes out. So she's like older now or whatever. So, she sets out on this quest to, I guess find her. It's hard to talk about this without giving everything away about what happens in this episode.
I'm watching. You're like, so then she goes to a place.
I guess the
and
point
has
is
an unhappy time.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much the way it works is that like everyone's living rurally, obviously, so they're growing crops and stuff like that. And then there's sort of this militia that is, you know, that kind of makes people pay them for protection, mm-hmm. and they're kind of like the brutes of the world and everything. So some shit goes down, if you will, between the militia and this family. And so the girl sets off on a quest to find people and discover things and unfold the mystery, as it were, because this is a J.J. Abrams show about what's going on with the power being out and stuff like that. So as you can see in, you know, any of the promotional stuff for this, like the girl carries like a bow and arrow. So obviously, like, you know, as long as this like 100, as long as the Hunger Games thing is popular, like, I mean, it makes sense in the context of this world because, you know, guns are hard to come by. There's not like a lot of like people carrying guns. There's a part in the show where like the militia shows up to do something and the guys are carrying muskets, so they fire their shots, and then you see them in the background, like
that doesn't like make reloading their weapons.
Yeah, I would like to say that every post-apocalyptic game or show or movie always involves like no one can get guns. They have got to be the most readily accessible thing in America ever yeah. created. They're all over
there are
the
literally
damn place.
Millions of them.
Yeah, right.
You can't, like, in Orlando, you could fall 5 feet and hit a gun shop. Like, it's, like, ridiculous.
So maybe in the first 4 years, in the first 14 years,
that's true.
They get, all the bullets in the world were fired.
Yes, there you
and
go.
In the 15th year, there were
only
very few guns.
Somebody yes. finds yeah, a stockpile of 1863
that's
muskets.
Such a minor gripe. It's just funny to me.
Yeah, and, like, as I was watching the show, I mean, like, there are some weird, like, sort of like future historical like things that are hard to like parse out, like the thing with the guns or whatever. But as I was watching it, I was like, thank God this is not a steampunk show, you know what I mean? Because yeah. that's kind of like a, you know, next thing you know, there's like penguins and pirates and
tiny
stuff like that.
Tiny hats and goggles.
Yeah, so, yeah, in mustaches.
Did the show feel more Terra Nova or more Lost?
Answer this correctly, please. Answer this correctly.
I think it's it doesn't feel like Terra Nova.
Good.
Because it doesn't seem like the people are trapped in their community. And it, and like although the world outside of their community is like a dangerous place, it's like it you can go there. You know, there's like there's other people, there's a militia and there's other cities and there's stuff going on, you
yeah.
know.
Okay.
So it's not like you're being terrorized inside of this tiny like community and you're wondering what's going on. This is like, she's more like on this episode, she's like, she takes on this journey to like do and discover things. And then it's because it's J.J. Abrams. There's like, there's mystery.
Did
you
it
know?
Feel, maybe this wording will be better. Did it feel sci-fi? Like sci-fi?
Yes.
Sci-fi.
No. Well, there is a sci-fi element to it, obviously, because he's always trying to do something with like a weird scientific premise. Like it's like Alcatraz, where it's like, what's going on? Are they traveling
right.
through time? How did they do
no,
that?
But like
Alcatraz
channel, right?
feel like a sci-fi channel show is what
yeah,
I mean.
Yeah, the channel.
Like, no, this does not feel like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Shit. How many
looks
how
like off if, the preview, if, so good.
If you had to make a prediction, how many seasons?
For this show?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, 3 or 4?
Oh, okay. So
oh,
that's good. That's
pretty
optimistic.
Good.
Based on the I saw, I thought it was good enough that it could go the distance depending on what happens this season. You know what I mean?
Okay.
But then
yeah.
again, I thought the same thing about Alcatraz.
Gone.
And it got canceled. Yeah. So who the hell knows?
I thought the same thing about Jericho.
I don't know what to think anymore.
Didn't Jericho last for like 7 seasons or something though?
Two.
That was the one with Luke Perry,
and only
right?
got the second one because of the fans. No, not. It's with Skeet.
Who's it with?
Oh my God.
I tricked you.
So the show's got your vote of confidence, though.
Yeah, I would say
that. Play with your dongle.
Just continue. Just keep going.
I would say that you should check your Hunger Games comparisons at the door and just enjoy the show as a J.J. Abrams show. And then with that being the premise for it, I think you would like it. Everyone would like it. If you're an Abrams fan, you should watch it.
Do we get to re-inject the Hunger Games premise when we find out that there's like a big city somewhere that still does have power and they're running everything?
I definitely think that he uses like the popularity of the Hunger Games to drive interest into this show, because like in the middle of the episode, this like hunky guy shows up with a crossbow and you're like, here we go, you know, but then like, it's not really like that. I mean, it kind of is, but it's not. So
I want to like blow your guys' minds, but he put out Lost when like Survivor and all the reality TV was really big. He put out Alias back in the late 90s, right? When Spy Tech was getting big.
Alias was a good show.
I know, I'm just saying that I have a feeling the dude knows how to aim at certain genres at certain times and be like, oh, this is a popular thing. I know how to write a cool story around it.
And I guess what I'm trying to say is that more than any of those other things, it's still an Abrams show.
Yeah.
So that's the deal. And awesome. So anyways, the pilot's available on Hulu right now, and I think that the show actually airs like Monday or Tuesday this week.
Yeah.
NBC cool. Like at 10, I think. So there you go.
Fall season. I'm excited. It's my favorite time.
We're going to talk more about fall TV shows next week, everybody.
Correct.
Yes.
All right. So I went to the movies today and saw a three-dimensional film. Christina and I went to go see Resident Evil Retribution. And I actually had to look up the name of it because there's been like Apocalypse and Rasputin.
Revengeance.
Resident Evil Revengeance. No.
Zero. Ground Zeroes.
So actually, there is a film out. Sony put it out, Resident Evil Retribution. It is the fifth Mila... I'm saying her name incorrectly.
Jovovich.
It is the fifth Mila Jovovich Resident Evil film. And it's totally a movie that I saw.
How many Resident Evil films have five or six already?
I'll start with the good stuff. The good stuff.
Okay.
There are 3D moments in this film that are really cool. They do a good job with the 3D. This was actually shot in 3D. They use the fancy new cameras and all that. Okay. Wow. So you can, you know, there's parts where axes are flying at your head. There's a really cool scene in the snow where the snow actually looks like you're surrounded by snow in the theater, which I thought was really neat. They did a lot of really cool particle effects and stuff with the snow. They bring back, this is not a spoiler because they're all over the ads and stuff, but they bring back cast members that were dead. So, like, the guy who played Carlos, he's back, and Rain is back from Resident Evil 1, and the character of One is back from Resident Evil 1. So, a lot of the old characters return.
What about the guy from The Mummy?
He's back, yeah. He is back. The Mummy guy is back. So, that's kind of cool, seeing, like, kind of like a return of old characters. Fight scenes. There's two really, really good fight scenes where she does, like, kung fu against zombies, which is really... pretty interesting. She does some stuff that she's never done in the other movies before, so some of the fight scenes are really good.
How old is Mila?
She's 36, I think.
Is she really? She looks awesome.
Yeah, she's in peak fighting shape, as they would say. So that was the good stuff. some fight scenes, some 3D. Now there's some bad.
Didn't they bring in some video game characters too, though? Like, I thought I saw Ada Wong.
That was going to be in the bad stuff. You know, I'm not going to. If anyone's ever watched these movies, you know they exist completely separately from the video games. And, you know, so a lot of video game characters return in this. Jill Valentine's back. Ada Wong is in this one. Barry Burton is in this one. Good old Barry. He even has his red vest and his mustache and his cigar. So he's back. You know, there's Leon S. Kennedy this time. Leon is back. In the bad stuff, I want to say that there's probably 15 lines of dialogue in the entire film. It is, I'm not even exaggerating, maybe a little bit more than 15, but between 15 and 30, the script must just be all description because no one really says much. Every single one of the fight scenes.
Just a lot of grunting.
Yeah, just a lot of grunting. Every single one of the fight scenes is completely shot in slow motion. So every single gunfight, every single fist fight, it's all just like really dramatic.
It's the Matrix.
Yeah, and they went super, like, this is the dubstepiest of all the Resident Evil. So you can imagine like slow motion, just like whoop, 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 and people just like shooting each other, like flipping in slow motion. So the whole movie is like super slow motion, very, very dramatic. As Christine and I walked out of the theater, we went, that movie literally did not have a plot. There was no plot. I swear. She wakes up in a place and she has to get out of the place. That is the plot. There's like, that is it. The plot is get out of the place. And, there are cool monsters. Stuff explodes. I didn't hate it. Conceptually, there is one cool thing that I'll talk about the concept of the movie. It all takes place in an underground umbrella testing facility, and they basically build this facility underneath the ice in the Arctic. And it has a giant soundstage for each major city in the world, pretty much. So you have one that's supposed to be Times Square, New York City, one that's supposed to be Moscow. And all of these were done for different testing reasons. And so the characters can run from like suburbia USA to like Moscow to Manhattan within, a minute and a half, because they're all of these like self-contained little pods that exist underneath the ice. And so I thought that was pretty cool. And, it was like sort of like the Truman Show meets zombies.
That I like that it's sense. Not like story related at all. You're like, then there's these things and they can just kind of like run through them. So that was cool.
there's no reason really.
Although to be fair, I want to say like every Paul W.S. Anderson movie is pretty much, and then they like run and there's like a gunfight and it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Like, that's totally it. Yeah.
I think he peaked at, didn't he do Event Horizon?
He did. He did Event Horizon.
Unfortunately.
So anyway, if you want to see some 3D and some good slow motion kung fu and some dubstep, definitely check out Resident Evil Retribution in theaters now.
Cool. So here's why I hate when you guys review Walking Dead, because it's just like, oh, the game's so awesome, everybody should play it, it's the best game ever made, then I shit my pants and it was great. And then I end up not playing it again. And then I listen to the second one, and it's like, game's so awesome, you should play it. And then I'm like, I know it's what's going to happen. I'm going to listen to the third one. You're going to tell me again that I'm an idiot for not yet playing any one of these. I feel like I'm waiting until they release all the episodes, and then I'm just going to buy them all in one shot. But they're never going to end, are they? There's going to always
be. No, there's going to be
games.
Five.
There's five? Okay.
Yeah.
Of this season, by the
way. Yeah, see? There you go.
I think I really did enjoy this chapter. I still think that. I think the second chapter was a little better than this one, but I mean, again, all the chapters, in my opinion, have been great so far. But I don't think this one necessarily topped the previous one, because I feel like this one was more of like a transitional piece of the storytelling.
It was.
If that makes sense.
It was.
Would you agree?
No, I definitely. I think chapter two kind of stood alone a little bit more. Like this one, like you said, it is a transition. There are a lot of different locales in this one, whereas two is mainly took place on a farm, if you will. But this one, you're all over the place.
This is kind of like Empire.
The story at this point has me like, I am in the palm of the story's hand. Like I really identify with the characters that are still around. There were times where I was like, and I said this in my review up on nerdappropriate.com, there were times where I literally yelled at my television and put my controller down for a minute, and then instantly went online to see if I could undo what had just been done. And I was like, I need to make sure that I didn't screw something up, and that like that event that just happened has to happen within the plot, because there are characters like within this game that you can save depending on your actions. And they'll be with you in your crew, as you go through the story. I think the thing that stands out for me with these Telltale games, and specifically with The Walking Dead, is the fact that it is incredibly well written. You have, the guys that are writing this really, really know what they're doing. And this story moves so slowly on purpose that there's nothing to do but talk to the people and like really get to know them. That's what the that's what the game is all about. It's about talking. There really is little to no action element. There's little to no gameplay, and I'm using finger quotes. It's all about the story. So you know these people, and you know their background, and so it makes their death that much more. It feels much more real than an action game when Baird gets shot in the foot or something. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. But don't you think that's a bit heavy-handed, because it is an episodic game. You know what I mean? Like, don't you kind of wish that you could just put the disc in and play all the way through because you're just dying to know what's happening? Or do you think that because it's episodic, you want to linger more? You don't have a choice, really. You have to linger.
I can't speak for Scott, but for me, it's so heavy. I don't know if I could sit there and play it for 20 hours. Like, it is like, this is a dark, dark, dark game. Like, shit happens to, like, little kids, like, bad things. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, you know, no spoilers, but no one is safe. And, you know, it is incredibly violent, incredibly gory. I don't know if I could play it for 20 hours. You know what I mean?
I just like that as a character in this game that I'm supposed to take the role of. I feel like in this game, I'm allowed to change my mind as that person about somebody else. So, like,
he's a great somebody that I like. By the way, I've really, like, he's one of my favorites. He's right up there with, like, Marsden. Like, he is Marsden. Just, yeah, he's a great, great, great character.
Yeah. So, I think that was a good review without talking about plots and spoilers.
We did it. That's a hard thing to do.
Yay.
So there's cool. still must buys for you guys, though. All of those Walking Dead episodes.
Yes.
Still on board. Still going great.
Cool. All right. Well, let's take a quick break.
I just have one more question. So if you were to play this and you wanted to skip episode 3, for example, you wouldn't be able to do that. You couldn't skip from 2 to 4, right?
No, you can't.
No.
You have to buy them in order.
Yeah. Yep. Cool.
Yeah, I don't know if you can just buy.
I don't know.
Four.
Do you think it would just make the decisions for you? It'd like randomize a set of decisions and just tell you that that's what you did.
Probably.
Maybe. Hmm. I don't know. Sure, I don't know why you want to do that. You know.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a great question.
Interesting.
And if it was Blizzard, these would be $60 a piece. All right, moving
Hey-o.
On.
All right.
Let's take a quick break.
Okay.
And come back to the nerd appropriate Quado. Okay, we're back for the Nerd Appropriate Quado, otherwise known as the Question of the Week. The question this week related to all the Wii U hype. Are you excited about the Wii U? If yes, why? If no, what does Nintendo have to do to win you back?
We got a lot of great answers, and a lot of them
we did.
A lot of really angry people this week. So
yes,
I heard something about angry accents. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was making jokes to try and get people to, you know, be excited about this question. So I said that we'd read them with angry accents, but I have to feel inspired. So we'll see what happens.
Okay. So anyways, our buddy Nate Hills from Reset Transmission says, I got to say no. It feels like a system that is outdated before it even releases and is based on a gimmick. To win me back, Nintendo needs to take risks with their three big names, an adult Zelda, a Mario that isn't 25 years old gameplay.
Ooh.
I actually don't agree with him on this one. I think that what makes Mario awesome
Uh-oh.
Is that it's Mario.
Yeah.
But.
Well, I mean, you guys share like your same mind on many topics.
We do agree with a lot of things. I just kind of don't agree on this one. I don't think I'd want to play an adult Zelda. I think that would be weird.
I think so too.
Adult Zelda?
Would just be hanging out the whole time? Or?
Yeah, lots of dongling.
It would either be like Darksiders or Tomb Raider.
Yeah, I feel suppose. Like it's out. You know, it's not. I don't know. Anyways,
Yes.
Next up is John from @GamerPlox says the control is interesting, but the system doesn't set itself apart from the other existing consoles, not to mention next gen. The mythical next gen better be amazing.
Yeah.
I feel like I say that those two words probably about a million times a week. I feel like I'm constantly talking about it.
But do you know what I mean? Like, we're hyping up a thing that doesn't exist at this point. That we have no idea what next gen means. It's just a thing.
It's console gaming 2.0.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
So, Geener Legospi at Regeener. It looks like I'm entering into a conversation here between a couple people, so I'm just going to read it and hope it doesn't blow up. My hands cannot hold and operate something that is unergonomic anymore. And for as long as I game on Xbox, PS3, the Wii U, not for the Wii U, period. Not for people with carpal tunnel or baby hands. Okay?
Okay.
I think that's just mainly that comment is all about complaining about the new controller.
Right.
And, you know,
yes.
We obviously, Scott's played it for a little while, and I had my hands on it, but I think most of us here, when we sit down and play games, sometimes we'll play for, you know, a couple hours to 4 or 5 hours at a time.
Tens of hours.
Yeah. So it has to be comfortable. And I think a lot of people are worried about the comfort of this controller. Because we all remember the little Nintendo rectangle that gave us bloody hands as children. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to be fair, the Sega one wasn't any better back then.
That's about true. The same that one was Master really System. Bad. Yeah.
All right, Nico, who is at some pony else, I love that name, she, I'm assuming, says, well, there are aspects I love of the Wii U, remote display, TiVo, Wii compatibility. Those are great, not enough, sadly. So, likes the compatibility, the remote display, et cetera, but not enough to warrant a purchase, it seems.
Yeah.
A favorable comment. Carissa Barros at SJB's Mama says, Wii was my first, quote, next-gen console, and NES is what started it all for me, so Nintendo has a special place in my heart.
Interesting.
Nostalgia sale.
Yeah. I think
and a different use of next-gen, going backward.
I don't mean that in a knock. I just mean that's Nintendo's bread and butter. They do really well with nostalgia with people, because they have been the people that have been around for 40 years making quality product. So
So all we need now is an Atari.
Yes. Yeah. I still have mine.
Atari kind of crapped on that nostalgia for everybody, so I don't know if that worked out.
Or right, Sega Dreamcast.
Oh, I wish.
Yeah.
Michelle Archer at Meisher Beans, if you find someone excited for the Wii U, feel free to let me know. I don't think they exist.
Ooh, oh, burn.
Ouch. Burn in the Wii U.
Dun, dun, dun.
No.
Ouch.
Scott,
has the hate for Nintendo gone too far?
No. Here's what happened in a short little bit. Nintendo was everyone's favorite, and this is how popularity works. Everyone's like, I love this, I love this, I love this, and it becomes incredibly popular, right? And then they start to do things incorrectly, and people instantly turn their backs on something that's popular and move on to something else, and then it becomes popular to hate the thing that was popular. So now it is popular to hate Nintendo because Nintendo used to be the most popular. That's how it works.
That's what happened with New Kids on the Block.
I know, right?
NKOTBSB. So Nico, also some pony else, says, I think as part of this conversation, Nintendo has to do a better job of being current. The Wii U has worse hardware than my PC I built 2 years ago. To win me back, they'd have to do more than rely on same games, have better hardware, and be more than a toy.
Has there been hardware specs released?
Yes.
I'm not knocking on anybody in the thread. I just don't know. I haven't read any. So
I read some some big stuff. It's going to use a tri-core processor, just about a little bit off the RAM and stuff. I don't think the nitty-gritty details of the bus and all that has been released, right. But I know it is using a tri-core processor. So, Ritzy.
So there's yelling in this one.
I know. Ritzy says, no, the way Nintendo locks DLC to console, not an account, is the piggest. Does that say piggest?
Biggest.
I think so.
Oh. Biggest. I'm sorry. Is the biggest. Second, multiplayer is essentially impossible online. Motion control is a nice novelty. Some games just require a controller. Tablet is proprietary. MS Smart Class will dominate. I have too many feelings on this. It will not have enough space. God damn it, Twitter. there's a lot that's said here. And I think the thing that stands out for me the most is the fact that multiplayer needs to be. So if they're still going to do the really, really horrible friend code system, I haven't heard much about this yet. It's going to fail. Mm-hmm. Like the simplicity of live is what keeps bringing people back. And that's why it does so well here in the States. It's because it's very, very easy to use. I don't know the model that Nintendo's using for their new online structure, though.
Yeah, I don't either. Their weird friend code thing was such a failure. It was unbelievable. But I think they are taking steps to bring a normal... I don't know if people are just not thinking... The pad's not gigantic, and it has a regular controller built into it.
Yeah.
Like, it's not as if they've created yet another kind of controller. They're just, this is just a slightly bigger controller with a large touchscreen in the middle of it that has essentially a normal gamepad on the outside of it.
Yep, that's true.
My problem with this is that this notion of, like, MS Smart Glass is going to destroy Nintendo's thing is that MS Smart Glass was a side note at E3 that basically took shape in the gamer community, but in consumer electronics, no one believes that this thing is going to even do well, even to the point of good. Like, everybody's assuming the Surface is going to tank and blow and not at all displace the iPad. So then you're assuming that everybody's going to build stuff for the iPad that interacts with the Xbox, and then somehow producers are going to jump on this and make games that integrate it. It's like way so far-fetched. It just, it's hard for me to believe that it's going to be that awesome. I think the Nintendo thing is well integrated and has a better chance of being good in games.
It seems like you can hate Nintendo in the face of Microsoft, and then you can hate Microsoft in the face of Apple.
Apple, yeah.
You know what I mean? And then it just goes around in circles, and then you can hate Apple in the face of Google.
It's like a weird, there's got to be like a weird Venn diagram, right? Where it's like the different sectors of tech and what company you hate and which ones you love. So it's like Microsoft and the consumer electronic tech is what everybody hates, and then Nintendo's what's gaming.
There'll probably be like a wired flowchart next month.
Yeah.
But the Surface will not tank. It will be awesome.
Good luck. Jennifer R. Jenny the Pirate says, I'm going to wait for the price to come down.
That's fair.
That is fair.
So I think I'm in the same boat.
Eric at eChap33 says, not excited at all. My Wii is a dust collector. They need new IPs. The Mario cash cow has been milked to death. Halo 4 and Gears of War 4 are coming out next year. And Call of Duty, like, 2012 is coming out this fall as well.
I'm gonna play devil's advocate here, though, Scott. But I would think if you went and counted all the Mario titles, they're probably way over 20 at this point. So
no, it's true.
Halo 4 and Gears 4, it's still, you know, 20 is a little different.
I think maybe it's more of like a growing up out of it kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like maybe, like I think people's tastes change over time. Like maybe someday we will lose interest in first person shooters. And then the generation behind us won't even like to play those kinds of games.
You know, has anyone disliked Mario? Honestly, has anybody played Mario and disliked it? Or do they play it and dislike it because there's so many of them?
Only Mario 2.
Right, but what I'm saying is that, like, when I picked up the 3DS and the first game I bought was a Mario game, I loved the shit out of it. It was like extremely fun to play. I feel like it's like the hate for the Zune. Like, everybody loves to make fun of Microsoft Zune, right? It's like the favorite thing to make fun of in all of electronics. The Microsoft Zune is one of my favorite pieces of electronics that I've ever owned in my entire life. The HD was amazing, but like people hated it, and then I'd be like, have you ever used it? They're like, no. Then what is your comment on this? I don't understand it. I'm defending Nintendo right now, and this is like the honest feeling for me.
I do agree with the comment that Nintendo needs new IPs. I really think that that's true.
Absolutely.
I think Nintendo needs better work with third party.
Oh, interesting.
I think that's what they're working on with this new console. I think that's a big thing for them. They want to like kind of rekindle their relationship with third party developers. So
I think the Wii was just so Nintendo centric that everybody was just like ready to vomit over nothing but Nintendo titles coming out for it.
Yeah,
that's fair. I'll take it.
All right, Justin Banks at Midtown 583 says, I'm excited about the Wii U, but not the price tag. I'll wait till they pull a 3DS move and drop the cost, which they will. It's going to, you know, we all know how this goes.
Yeah.
It'll be less money in the future.
But before we get to the end here, Scott, what are your feelings on the Wii U?
I think I kind of agree with Justin Banks because I felt this way. I mean, I think I would feel this way irregardless, but I got burned with the 3DS. And I guess I'm a little gun shy, you know. Yeah. I was sort of on this curve of like getting things as they come out, you know. Like for a while, I was getting like whatever came out, you know, like PSP, 3DS, whatever, you know. And now I have less time to game, you know. I have less money to spend on it, so you know, I feel like I am patient to wait and see what happens with the Wii U.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, sort of all of the stigma, positive or negative aside, I just want to see what happens and see what is available. And I do think the $350 price tag is a bit too much. And I mean, I didn't buy a PS3 when it was $700. I bought it when it was $300. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I guess it's and the other thing too, specifically about the console itself, is that at PAX, a lot of the experiences that we took part in were ones where it was a bunch of people together. So like one person was doing something on the screen and everybody else was using a Wii remote to play on the TV and everyone was interacting. And like I was saying earlier, we don't play that way, you know, because we're all physically separated. And I just don't know that if the experiences are going to be tailored towards like a bunch of people getting together in the living room, I don't know that it would be something that I could get the most out of, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because I think at the end of the day, I'm going to play on whatever we are all playing on. You know what I mean? If tomorrow we're like, hey, we're all playing Farmville tomorrow, I'll be like, all right, fine, let's play Farmville. You know what I mean?
Like, awesome.
Doubtful. But like we play on Xbox because we're all on Xbox. Like that's why we don't.
Right.
We specifically don't play a lot of PS3. So I think that's the clincher there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good answer.
So Renu CZ. Nintendo never had me in the first place. I don't want too many gaming gears occupying my place. PC mostly covers my needs. Boy, this person is like the exact opposite of me, but I can respect it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I want all the things. I want all the consoles. And I will wait. I'll probably buy the Wii U.
I'll take all the ham.
I'll probably get the Wii U when the price goes down, like everybody else has said. I'm really honestly very excited. We talked about it a couple podcasts ago. But I'm really excited about seeing how games change with the interactive tablet and whether or not that's going to be possible with the Surface and Xbox, like you say, then awesome. But yeah. I'm not willing to count out Nintendo just yet.
Yeah,
I'm not a huge fan, but I'm not willing to say they suck. They're horrible. I hate them. So to me, it's not a witch hunt.
And like the point that I probably didn't really make at all was that not that the smart glass is going to be a failure. It's just that the reason proprietary stuff like the Nintendo thing works so well is that it's easy for a developer to take a thing, know the tablet that's going to be there, 100% definitely going to be in that person's hands, and then create a unique and integrated experience with it. As opposed to saying like, oh, somebody might have some device of some size and then it'll have some sort of application running on it that you can interact with. That's really hard to develop around, you know, like it's just going to be this weird tacked on piece that is completely not useful at all, because if you didn't have that smart glass, it still needs to play as a game, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So
this also, the comment also kind of acknowledges that entirely other group of gamers that are just all PC gamers. And they're like, consoles are dumb anyways, like you should do all your gaming on PC, because like the new Borderlands will have, you know, tarps that you can shoot because it has physics and stuff like that, and it's like, whatever, take that, console gamers.
Take that.
They're like the constantly bleeding edge gamers, you know, like they always have the newest and greatest thing because they can upgrade so easily while we're all waiting for our contracts to end with the Xbox 360 so we
get... I mean, that being said, it's just cool that there's competition too.
Yeah.
You know, so nobody gets complacent.
So Jack Beebe at Weirdo Queen says, I'm excited by the new titles, but it is way too expensive for me.
Agreed.
Scott, do you think they shot themselves in the foot by lowering the Wii to such a nominal price that they can't sell a console at a normal price now? People just view it as too much?
Again, well, I think it's because... Go ahead, Scott. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I think because there's two consoles. I think that makes it... It kind of puts a sting in it, I think.
Yeah. I also think they could have just been like, it's because the peripherals are so expensive as well. People are aware of that. They know that they're not going to just be able to like buy it and then, you know, play. They know they're going to have to buy like all the doodads in order to, you know, have fun on the Nintendo system.
Matt brought up a point a long time ago with the Kinect where it's like, you only need one Kinect and you put it on your TV and everybody can use it, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
I think that was the most brilliant piece of it.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of
like, here, buy a Sony Move controller and then buy the Sony Move controller nunchuck and then buy three more of those. And you're like, what? How much is that? $400, but it's cool. Go ahead and get those if you could.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can do archery with it.
Yeah,
you take that.
Scott, you should read Anna's because you do a great Anna impression.
Oh, I don't know if I can read all of this as Anna, but I'll read her comment anyways. Okay. That peachy Anna says, nope, Nintendo turned their backs on their fans and they refuse to do anything intelligent as a company. Nintendo cannot win me back. Well, maybe if they gave me a free Wii U and some games and other gimmicky peripherals, but I would still talk shit about them.
Wow.
They don't hold back. They don't hold back.
I got it going a little bit. I tried to get it going.
So Melissa K, the quad skater, agrees and says, nope, some original new IPs would be nice. Yeah. Ouch.
Yeah.
I wonder though, like, do these people own Wiis? Does everybody who hates Nintendo own a Wii? Are already over Nintendo? Is it just like, were they ever to Nintendo? Is it like when Netflix raised their price and we all want to hate it because it was like a thing?
Like, what was the last new IP that came out exclusively for Xbox 360?
Borderlands. I don't know. That wasn't exclusive.
No.
No, there's a lot.
But what was the last one? Like, what was the last, like... Like, if Xbox 360 was going to put out a Smash Bros...
I mean, like, it was... Gears 3 was in March. That was probably the last exclusive I can think of recently. And, of course, like, the Halo franchise is exclusive to Xbox as well. I mean, there's not too many anymore. But... It's how it used to be.
It's a dicey proposition, especially when, like you said, there's going to be games that probably release on all three consoles, and you're like, well, which one do I buy? Do I need all three consoles? You have to pick one based on exclusives and where your friends are playing, I guess.
That's true.
Do
you think achievements.
Oh, yeah. That's, yeah.
Do you think do you think Nintendo, even though they're getting into hardcore games, quote-unquote, is still just aiming at having the families that the, you know, billion families that already own a Wii just upgrading to the Wii U and knowing that that's probably what's going to happen. And
I don't know who their target market is.
Yeah.
I don't think that they know. I mean, what happens to all of, like, the elderly people who use the Wii? You know what I mean? They're not going to be playing Mass Effect
3. Did you see the commercials? They still can use their board, and then they hang on and they do exercise with the gamepad.
Also, there's...
So tell me of the lineup of the launch titles that we were talking about. How many of those are geared toward the octogenarians?
I don't know. Nintendo Land.
Nintendo Land. And then TV.
TV. Kind of sounds like you're old when you say it.
TV.
Gonna watch me some TV. Sarah, who is at Sky Voss Normandy, says, I'm looking forward to the Wii U about as much as I'd look forward to spending $170 to replace the controller. That actually goes into what I was just going to say. There is no way you're going to let your 7-year-old mess around with a $170 controller.
I don't know about that.
That can break. $170 for a controller?
Dude. How many people do you know are letting their toddlers play with their iPads?
Yeah. I don't associate with people that do that.
And that's like $500.
Dude, I see kids. I see like 5-year-old kids on the train holding an iPad playing with it, and I'm like, anyone could steal that right now. There's not even a chance that couldn't get stolen. And then B, the trains are like horrible. They're like jerking around, and this kid's holding a $500 piece of glass.
Dude, and sticky hands, like, kids are sticky, like, sticky gooey. Yeah. Ew.
What kids are you hanging around that are sticky gooey?
Well, they always, like, put their hands in, like,
why is anyone here hanging out with kids?
I don't know.
I get paid to hang out with children.
Oh, my God.
Just saying.
Adam Shear, our last one, Adam Shear at Adam Shear says, I'm excited. I've tried out the Wii U on multiple occasions and find the second screen concept to be unique and innovative.
Figured we'd end it on a positive note.
Nice.
isn't it weird how, like, I mean, I'm guilty of this as well, but isn't it weird that throughout this whole discussion, like, Nintendo specifically raises a lot of passion either one way or another, like, within people? Like, I don't think I get, like, super stoked. Like, I don't get, like, fired up talking about Sony PlayStation, you know. I'm sure somebody does, but
yeah,
I feel like this company more than maybe other companies, like, fuel this kind of passion.
No, I think they fuel this kind of love hate.
Yeah,
like, there's plenty of passionate Xbox fans, you know, or PS3 fans, but I don't think Xbox gets the love hate, or PS3 anymore gets the love hate that Nintendo manages to generate. I think consoles as a whole maybe do, but not individual ones.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the PC console argument is far more polarizing than Nintendo.
It's such a microcosm, though. You know, like, that's why I asked about the parents thing, because I think at the end of the day, Nintendo's still going to make $1 billion off this thing. It's going to come out. Families are going to look at it as an upgradable piece to the thing they already have in their living room, and they're going to go, "Oh, I can watch Amazon on it, and then buy it for $350 and move on with life."
It just might not be us playing it, but that
might
be
us.
Yeah,
that might be the difference.
And I feel like they're trying to court us by saying, "Like, look, we got Bayonetta. Look, we got Call of Duty." But then, if if we don't bite on that, they're just going to be like, nah, oh, well, we've still got, you know, all these millions of other consoles we're going to
sell. Yeah, here's some Skylanders. Go buy this shit, everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Here's crack. Here's crack for kids, everyone.
Yep. Cool. Well, that was, I think we had some good discussion tonight.
We did.
Wow, way to sum that up.
Well, there's I just want to, you know, I want to stress that it's civil discourse, and I love everybody. So
there we go.
Aww.
Hey, nice, you know,
achievement unlocked.
Buy a Wii U or don't. I'm not getting any money for it.
Pretty simple.
I think it was a good Niquata, guys. Come on.
It
was a good one.
Yeah, it was a good Niquata.
It was good. Thanks to the community for supplying us with awesome answers, and yes. You guys are amazing, and we appreciate you,
Thank you so very much.
And next week we'll have a new and improved Niquato for you.
You can follow us at twitter.com/nerdappropriate or at nerdappropriate. You can go to facebook.com/nerdappropriate. You can email us all, Matt Scott or Hillary with one L, at nerdappropriate.com.
Yes.
Go to the website, read all of our articles. There's a ton of stuff up about PAX, so you can go back through the archives and see that stuff.
Big thanks to Jimmy Hansen at Big Giant Circles for our theme song.
If you are wondering, when you hear that theme song and you're like, that's badass, it's Jimmy Hansen in Big Giant Circles. He's got a band camp you can go to and download all this stuff and buy it.
It's good.
Buy it. Cool. Give the man some money. And I feel that...
Hey, wait a minute. Next week is 75.
It is. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my goodness.
We have some stuff in the works for 75. We don't know exactly what's going to happen yet, but something is going to happen. But...
It's going to be awesome.
I will talk to you guys as soon as we stop recording, and I will talk to you about other future fun about, stuff that I have in the works.
Your sentences keep going. I'm thinking it's going to end, and then you like pause, and you said like three more words, and I'm like, talking over you. It was just awkward. It was my fault. I'm sorry.
Bye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody. I don't know what is happening. I was so bored at work the other day. I was staring at the hair on my hand, and I was like, it's so weird. It just goes straight out from the side.
What?
Weird.
Oh my God.
It like grows, you know, like it grows in a direction, right? So mine grows like over my hand, but like at the end here, it doesn't like mat down to my hand. It just goes like straight. It just like hangs straight out. It's crazy. Look, I think you can.
I don't have any of that.
See?
Whoa.
It's like,
yeah, it's just straight out. It's funky arm hair.
I'm freaking out.